Hi, everybody. I want to welcome Catalyst online and in person. You know, it's been about four or five months, and I see the kids, the children, I think they grew in that 4 months. And I see, I'm sorry, but some of you gained weight, and some of you lost weight, and I don't know how you did it, you know. And for those online, you know, I just want to let you know, as you see me, camera adds about 10 pounds, okay? The camera adds about 10 pounds. But I want to continue the sermon series. It's called Dreaming God's Dream, and it's part two. It's from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13, right? And it says this, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Right? I'm looking at Daniel. Something's right there. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first, I got two Daniels in front of me. Okay. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. And the church said. You know, last week, part one, I talked about dreams, you know, that God gave human being the capability to dream. And every new and great invention, art, you know, music, our culture, every beautiful, amazing creation begins with a dream. You know, but we live in a broken world, and last Sunday I talked about because of the brokenness, there's dream killers. And last week we talked about rejection as a dream killer. In this broken world, we will all be hit with rejection, you know, like abandonment, neglect, betrayal, loss, abuse. And we saw last week that God gave Joseph a dream, and right away he faced rejection the next day. There was jealousy, there was abandonment, there was abuse. And we saw from scripture that Joseph overcame rejection with forgiveness. Right? Joseph overcame rejection with forgiveness. And through forgiveness, Joseph fulfilled God's dream. Joseph became a great leader that saved millions of people from starvation because there was a great famine at that time. He saved his family, and very important, he continued the redemptive work of God because in his family, it was the Messiah line. And from that family will come the Messiah in the future. Today is part two. Daniel, in this passage, Daniel was a man who dreamed God's dream. Because if you go through the book of Daniel, you see time and time again, he would interpret dreams, right? He would see visions, and he dreamed God's dream. In this passage, it says, from the first day, the Bible says, he set his mind to gain understanding, humble himself before God. Daniel wanted to know God's will. He wanted to know God's heart, the future, you know, God's future. Daniel was, what was he doing for that 21 days? Dreaming God's dream. Okay? He was dreaming God's dream. Daniel fasted for 21 days. And for 21 days, Daniel was seeking God's dream. During that time, nothing seemed to be happening. And suddenly, after 21 days, there was a breakthrough. There was a breakthrough. And an angel appears to Daniel. And the angel tells Daniel, you know, why there was a delay. There was a dream killer, the angel tells him. And what was that dream killer? He says, the prince of the Persian kingdom Meaning, there was this great demonic spirit resisted me 21 days. Huh? This dream killer was this demonic spirit that resisted, you know, the prayer of Daniel. There is a dream killer in the spiritual realm, and this is what I want to talk about today. The dream killer that's in the spiritual realm. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Eh? When it comes to the dream killer in the spiritual realm, the Bible doesn't say, you know, be dramatic and be emotional. It doesn't say be charismatic. It doesn't say scream at the demons. It says when it comes to the dream killer in the spiritual realm, it says we need to be alert and we need to be sober-minded. We need, in other words, we need to be ready when it comes to spiritual warfare. We need to be prepared and we need to be trained. We need to be trained when it comes to the dream killer in the spiritual realm. The book of Ephesians says, put on the full armor of God. Okay? You know, I grew up in the Korean church. And, you know, one thing, and this is not good, but one thing that Korean church is somewhat known for is the church splits. I don't know if you know that, you know. If you're not Korean, you don't really understand it, but if you're Korean. But they are kind of known for church splits. And when there's a conflict, you know, in the Korean church, when there was a conflict, the focus would be on people and not spiritual battle when there's a conflict. But we got to understand, when there's a conflict, especially within the church, we need to understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, when there's a conflict in the church, the demonic is stirring up confusion, fear, gossip, resentment, ungodly anger, and accusations. But what happens is when the church don't understand, you know, there's things that, yes, we have to deal with as people, as members, as the family of God. You know, we're not perfect. But when there's this conflict, and you don't understand what's going on in the spiritual realm, the church ends up fighting one another and not the demonic. They don't fight the demonic. But eventually, they just fight with one another. And what happens when you don't know how to, as a church, fight the dream killer in the spiritual realm? The conflict grows and grows and it gets nastier. Eventually, the church splits, many people get hurt, and the hurt continues. And this is what I personally see in what happened in America. 30 years ago, when the Korean, you know, 30 years ago, many Korean churches were planted. You know what I mean? They started because they got a vision from God, you know, and people come together to start a church. What? 30 years ago, it was through church planning. Nowadays, in the Korean church, many Korean church starts. You know why? Not through church planting, but because of church splits. So what you see 30 years ago is through planting, but there's conflict, and the church don't understand. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and they just battle one another, flesh and blood. And it split. And that church that split was split again. And that church that split was split again. And I saw this happen in several Korean churches in North Jersey. In just North Jersey alone. So, there's a dream killer in the spiritual realm. And we need to discern the spiritual battle that we're going through. This is very important. See, I see this in myself, and this is very common. We can easily discern when someone else is going through a spiritual battle. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if I talk to you, you know, yeah, that person, that, you know, this so-and-so, spiritual battle. being demonically attacked. Yeah, they're under a dark cloud of spiritual warfare. Yeah? We could easily discern other people going through spiritual warfare. But it's very difficult to discern when you are going through it. Yeah? It's difficult to discern when you yourself is going through it. The Bible says the enemy shoots, demonic spirit shoots darts at you. Okay, darts. It doesn't say spear, you know, that's big. It's little darts. Huh? It's harder to see. It's harder to know that it's coming at you. And that's why the Bible says, be alert and be sober-minded. Sober-minded. When you're drunk, you lose control of yourself. You don't know what's going on. You know, what's going on to yourself. To a drunk person, I'm okay. You know, you're slurring your word, you're forgetting things, you can't walk. I'm perfectly okay. Everybody else could see you're not. Be sober-minded when it comes to spiritual warfare. Doesn't say be critical of others. Be self-righteous and tell other people and point out what they're going through. But be sober-minded. And the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. Say that to your neighbor. We could, you know, say that to your neighbor. And online, say that directly into Facebook. Okay? Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, why is there, okay, if you look at the news, there's a huge territorial dispute in South China Sea for this tiny little island. Did you see that island that they're fighting over? It's really small. Okay? It's tiny. Huh? Why is that tiny island so important? Because it's a foothold. It's a foothold. You can launch attack from that small island. That's why that tiny little island is so important. You can launch attacks. Foothold is a territory of your heart that you give up territory to the demonic spirit. And from that territory, the demonic has power over you. Rejection can be a foothold. A temptation could be a foothold. A lie could be a foothold. Bitterness could be a foothold. Pride could be a foothold. Fear, unbelief. But today, this is what I want to challenge, Catalyst. There's another foothold that the Bible talks about, and it's called being lukewarm spiritually. Being lukewarm spiritually. Revelation chapter 3 talks about this. The church of Laodicea, being lukewarm, the Bible says, this is what God says about being lukewarm spiritually, I can't use you. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I can't drink it. I can't use you. Being lukewarm, the church, you know, if you read Revelation 3, Laodicea thought they were very rich. They got everything right. But in reality, because they were spiritually lukewarm, they were, the Bible says, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. God says to the church of Laodicea, right, discern, you know, do you realize that you're lukewarm? Because when you're lukewarm, you don't realize it. You're not being sober-minded. Right? You're not being sober-minded. But Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, come to me. Let me cover your shameful nakedness and clean your eyes so that you can see. So that you can see. During this season, because there will be more storms that the church will have to go through, that Catalysts have to go through. And during this season of different storms that will come, we gotta make sure you know, that spiritually we're not lukewarm. Can I hear an amen? I know it's hard, but I need to hear an amen. Amen. The good news when it comes to the spiritual warfare is this, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Okay? We, as a Christian, we have this God-given authority. You know, most believers are ignorant about the authority they have to use against spiritual force of evil. You know, you could have a sword, but we don't use it. You know, we could, you know, prayer is like, you know, bombing the, you know, it's like an air raid to the enemy, but we don't use it. Don't be ignorant about the spiritual authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Matthew 28 said, we have all authority because of Jesus in heaven and earth. You see, when you were born again, you were born to win the spiritual battle. You were born to win the spiritual battle, not to be, harassed by the demonic. Jesus says to Catalyst, this is the church, even the gates of hell will not overcome you. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, you, dear children, okay, he's called, you know, you're children of God, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I have given you authority. Okay? I have given you authority. Jesus gave this to us. It is in us as a Christian. We have authority to what? Trample on snake and scorpion. Now the cults, what they do is they believe this literally, you know, so they snakes. That's not what it means. The devil in Genesis is called a serpent, a snake. We have this authority to even overcome the devil himself. Trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power, see, it's in that context, all the power of the enemy. And this is what the Bible says. Let's say this together. Nothing will harm you. Wow. Okay? Nothing. In the context, the power of the enemy cannot harm you. There's a tremendous spiritual battle happening all around us. And the good news, the truth, okay? You are not in this battle to lose. As a disciple of Jesus, you're in this battle to win. To win. If you believe you're going to lose, okay? Right? No matter, you're not going to fight back. Do you understand what I mean? It's like, think about sports. When a team believes they're going to lose, they don't play like they're going to win. Right? They don't play hard. You know, they're depressed. Yeah, and they give up. When a team believes that they are going to win, you know, the coach says, I believe in you. You could do it. That's a human coach. But as a Christian, you need to remember the book of Revelation. God says to you and me, you're going to win. You're going to win this spiritual battle. The book of Revelation says, we win. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, you know, 2020 is one of the darkest years. I can't. 2020. You know, it's supposed to be clear vision. 2020. Yeah. It's one of the darkest times. But the Bible says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Right? It's talking about us going through spiritual warfare. It's not just difficulties of life here. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay? For you are with me. To win the spiritual battle, you and I have to have this winning mindset in the valley where there's evil. Okay? Where there's evil. This is when it, where it counts. This is the year that it counts, that we have that winning mindset. Okay? This is the year. In the valley, you are being spiritually attacked. There is evil. There's confusion, there's hopelessness, there's accusation, there's condemnation, there's guilt, there's shame, there's bondage. And what the devil wants to do is, to, because, you know, through that, make the church lukewarm. Make the church lukewarm. But Psalm 23 is saying, don't be afraid. God is with us. For you are with me. In the valley, you know, we're going to hear two voices spiritually. In the valley, you're going to hear two voices in the spiritual realm. Evil voices of doubt, voices of fear, voices of offense that you could carry, of failure, of hopelessness, indifference, unbelief. And there's another voice in the valley, the voice of God. In the valley, catalyst, stop listening to the voice of evil. Voices that lies to us, that accuses us, that demeans us. We need to stop listening to those voices. We need to reject those voices. And those voices of evil, the voice of evil is very familiar. Right? It is the same accusation over and over again. It points to the same mistakes. It's the same dirty covering of shame. And we keep putting it on again and again and again. It's the same pain of rejection. Right? So during this year, 2020, catalyst, don't eat yesterday's manna. Catalyst, don't drink the cheap wine of drunkenness. Catalyst, don't walk the street where you know there's a pit there in that street. Huh? I know you're kind of far apart, but look at one another. Say, we can change. Yeah? We can change. We can drink. And what do I mean by change? Right? This is a good thing. The way the Bible talks about change, it says, we, instead of drinking that cheap wine that's spoiled, okay, we can drink the new wine from a new wineskin. Drink the new wine from the new wineskin. Right? So we have to fight this spiritual warfare. As a church, we need to push back. The enemy is stealing our identity, our destiny, our family, our past, our future. Spiritually, let's take up arms. Let's fight back. You know, in World War II, I forgot what day that is, but there's a day called D-Day. D-Day. A day, that day, it was a day to begin to make a change. You know, Hitler was gaining land after land after land, country after country after country. But D-Day was a day to begin to make a change. A day that the Allied forces captured a small land, a beach at Normandy. And it was the turning point of the World War II.
It was the turning point. What does that mean? We don't have to try to figure everything out. You don't have to try to figure everything out for the next 20 years. That's not what I'm asking you to do as a church. Let's just fight back. And the enemy's taking territory. Stop it. And just let's take this beach. Let's start a beginning, a day of beginning of change. Yeah. God did not lead us into 2020, into this valley to lose. God leads his people, you know, in the Bible, to the promised land. And he said it again and again. But the people of God, I don't think they didn't believe him. To take possession of that land. To take the possession of that land. It wasn't to kill his people or to overwhelm his people. It was to succeed. It was to win. It was to overcome. Think about Jesus. You know, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descends on him. And there's a voice from heaven, you know, says, "This, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Can you, he says, God, the Father God says to Jesus, "You are my son. I love you, and I am pleased with you." Right? And right after his father said that to him, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be spiritually attacked. Huh? There's a truth. I love you. I am pleased with you. But there's another truth. You know, that did not exempt Jesus from spiritual attack. Huh? As children of God, we will go through spiritual warfare. And God loves you. And he is pleased with you. That very day, you know, then, the very day his father tells him, "I love you, I am pleased with you," Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was not led, but this is the truth. Jesus was not led into the wilderness to lose the battle with temptation. It wasn't to see Jesus be hungry and weak. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to experience victory, to win, to defeat the devil, not to lose. We as a nation is going through great, great spiritual warfare. We as a nation is in this valley. God's people, Catalyst. God is with us. He is with us. Caleb and Joshua said, you know, they looked at the valley where there were enemies. They said, "We will devour them. Their protection is gone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to win." We need to do the same thing. As we look at this nation in the valley, in spiritual battle, as we are alert to the enemy in the valley, we know who we are in Christ. And so, as we see evil as a church, as a disciple of Jesus, we need to proclaim, "Their protection is gone. We will devour them. We will devour them." Amen.